How America Was Named. America, symbol of speed, progress, the promised land of immigrants, the birthplace of much of the modern machinery which has freed man from slavery. City to Los Angeles, from New Orleans to San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, the hum of great cities carries the melody of democracy and America. Now go back to 1507. At the College of Sandy in the Vosges Mountains of France, Martin Waldseemüller, a member of the faculty, is hard at work. He is translating Amerigo Vespucci's account of his travels to a strange new world. The account is to go in Ptolemy's new geography. The candle is flickering. It is very late.
Ah, done at last. Now I add my name and then...
Still at work, Martin. Oh, I see the memoirs are finished.
Yes, Carl, my work is done.
This Amerigo Vespucci, do you believe his story?
I think it's true.
After all, Columbus was only looking for a new way to India. Vespucci discovered a whole new world.
Remember, Carl, if it had not been for Columbus, Vespucci would still be a merchant in Seville.
What do you mean by that, Martin?
Columbus purchased some of his supplies from Vespucci. That is the first time he ever heard of the new route to India. Then Vespucci became interested and obtained a commission in the Portuguese service and followed Columbus' new route to Asia.
But Martin, Amerigo Vespucci says he thinks he found a new continent. Columbus didn't have sense to know it. Look, I've just finished this map of the new continent as Amerigo has described it.
Ah.
Well, Martin, how do you like it?
Ah, that's very interesting. I see that the new continent is attached to Asia. Yes, I think this is very good, Carl.
Could you use it in Ptolemy's geography?
Yes, I shall place it on my map of the world.
Oh, thank you, Martin, thank you. I have worked many days on this map.
And what shall we call this new continent?
Oh, I haven't thought of that.
For the time being, we'd better call it the land of Amerigo.
Amerigo. I have it, Martin. We shouldn't call it Amerigo. All other continents have feminine names, such as Europa, Africa, Asia. Why not call it America?
America it shall be. I shall print it now. There. America. As good a name as any other. Oh, come, Carl. It's late. Will you join me in a bottle of wine?
Vespucci only discovered South America, but Waldseemüller did not know that. Strange as it seems, America, so casually decided upon by Martin Waldseemüller, was named by a German professor in a French college for an Italian navigator in the service of the King of Portugal. The Mystery Aeroplane. The World War, like every great conflict throughout history, had its crop of weird and unexplained stories. No more amazing story has ever been told and the experience of two British aviators during the early days of the war. Somewhere near Armentières, France, at a British bombing squadron aerodrome behind the lines, Captain Goodwin and Lieutenant Barker are watching the planes of B flight warming up and taking off for a raid on an enemy strong point.
Well, there goes Jameson, the best man in B flight.
Nice chap. Hope he comes back.
Oh, he'll come back all right. He's got a charmed life. The ship just taking off now has been back with the Boche line so much it's the one that ever wants to come home. Well, I wish I were taking sea flight up today.
Good Lord, Skipper, aren't you satisfied? You just got back from Blighty. That leg of yours isn't strong yet. I don't see how they let you come up from the base.
Oh, my leg will do. Ah, you know, Barker, dear old London looked awfully jolly. The Trocadero, the Gaiety, the Savoy. Oh, I hated it all. Now, that trip back to the squadron's always bad for the morale of the troop.
I say, did you have a chance to dash down to Sussex? I know you were hoping to.
Not a chance. I was in hospital so long, had hardly any time for visiting.
Oh, Sussex. The South Downs around Haslemere. Mm. The Devil's Punch Bowl. Hope I see them again. They're wonderful in the spring.
Well, to be in England now that April's here, eh? Barker, you're losing your grip.
Well, Skipper, after 6 months out here, over the lines a couple of times a day, and, well, a chap gets rather... Look.
What's up?
Off there toward the line, Skipper.
Oh.
That plane's headed back this way, isn't it?
Ah, you're right. That's one of our ships, the DH-4. It looks like Jameson's plane.
But he just left. Must have engine trouble. How in the devil will he land with that load of bombs? You know, since you went wounded, we carried 210-pounders... and 12 25-pound Cooper's bombs to the ship.
Good Lord. All that weight will pull his nose down and he'll crack up. No, it's not Jameson's ship.
Might be young Phillips. He took off about an hour ago.
Look, he's heading for a perfect landing. What a beautiful glide. Oh, I wish I could handle a ship that way.
Yes, Phillips is one of the best. A natural flyer.
He'd better begin to bank, though, at the rate he's gliding.
I say...
Good Lord. He's gliding right over us. He's not going to land here.
Skipper, no pilot of ours would do that. Look, he's out of sight now. He's come down in a field out there.
Barker, my lucky lad. I think the pilot in that ship is a German.
What?
He's got hold of one of our planes somewhere or other and has landed back there.
Then we'd better find out, quick.
Right. Well, let's grab that light truck over by the hangar and go after him.
Right you are. I'll drive, Skipper. Hop in.
Right. Probably landed in that field over there by the river. Didn't hear any crash. Must have been able to make a landing.
Yes. Glad I'm an air pilot. At least we don't have such bumps as these.
No. Better go in low here. There's lots of rocks and holes.
Can't waste time. A German's probably gone already. Might be a spy.
Devilish lot of nerve he's got. Fly one of our own planes right over our own landing field.
The Boche are wonderful flyers. Don't know the meaning of the word fear.
There. Now you can see the ship. And a bright smack in the middle of the field.
Perfect landing. She doesn't look cracked up at all.
Barker, pilot is still in the ship. Stop the truck.
Right-o.
Baxter. Some sort of a trick.
His observer is there, too. See, leaning over toward the pilot. Probably deciding what to do. Shall I sing out to them?
No. Well, they may not have heard us. Our best chance is to circle around them and sneak up from behind.
Good idea, sir.
Hop up. Don't you think it's odd that they don't move?
Perhaps they're wounded.
We've got to chance it anyhow. If it's a trick, they've certainly done it perfectly. Now you stay here, Barker, and cover me with a revolver while I sneak forward.
If they make one false move, I'll shoot.
All right.
You there. Get out. Where are you covered? Are you wounded? Barker, come here.
Yes, get up. Phillips and Wyatt. Are you badly hurt? Wyatt, what's wrong?
Skipper, Wyatt is stone dead. Shot through the head. Must have died instantaneously.
Phillips. Phillips is dead, too.
But I don't see how the ship landed. I don't...
Phillips must have been dead at least 15 or 20 minutes, judging by the look of things. Well, that means during that long glide we saw, no living man was piloting this plane.
What? How? I don't see...
Before he lost consciousness, Phillips must have headed the plane home, gone into a gliding angle and switched off the engine. The plane came back of its own accord.
Skipper, I told you, Phillips was one of the best. Even in death, he made a perfect landing.
Strange as it seems, such an uncanny occurrence actually happened over the British-German lines during the World War. Even in the very grip of death itself, the pilot had remembered the great axiom of all flyers: save the ship.